I have an NFC or an RFID implant in my left hand. And initially it was just like a fun gimmicky thing. And it was like, you know what, if I'm going to be working at companies and they're going to have RFID doors, etc., you know, I want to be one of those cool people that just goes bloop with their hand and the door opens.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on at JS World Conf on Twitter.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
It's time for another interview with the speaker. Yeah. This time we have our very own passionate person, Luc van Kampen.
Ooh.
I'm really loving the sound
effect. Yeah, that's
a great
so
sound
good.
Effect.
I mean, it's perfect.
Super nice. Like, super nice.
It's also the nice. Man with the silk voice, right?
Right now? No, I've lost my voice. I've been yelling all morning.
Oh, it's not as bad as mine. So, I mean, good on you, man.
Yeah, I mean, the both of us, we're starting to sound like horse.
Yeah, by the end of the day, we're just going to be terrible.
We were telling Maggie just now that by the end of the day, we'll be sounding like mob bosses.
So that's going to make the last interview interesting.
This the day of the
oh,
conference.
Good Lord.
You did yeah. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So for those of you who don't know, we are well acquainted with Luc because he's our colleague. What is very, very much amazing about this guy is that he's 19.
Yep.
And he just did his first ever talk on Web3.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. Super cool, man.
So how was it, man, on stage?
So I, you know, initially stage fright, but I've been kind of masking that by running around trying to organize everything. Because, you know, I got to be able to help out. And I don't know. Then eventually I was just like, all right, screw it. And I walked on stage too early. But I walked on stage. And after a couple, you know, technical difficulties, we got there. It was fun. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the room slowly faded and I was just like, you know.
You should have just run on stage with like so much energy.
I should have.
Steve Ballmer just
developers.
Freaking Nutter. He just asked everybody to get. He was great. You should ask him about that. Did you see that?
No. We were here doing interviews.
Okay. Obviously. So. Obviously.
We were setting all this up.
So he gets on stage and he's just like, everybody stand up for this presentation. I need you to stand up. So everybody stands up and he pulls out his phone. He turns around and he goes, all right, now cheer. It's like, great. Now that I've got a standing ovation, it doesn't matter if I nail the rest of the presentation or not. It was awesome.
That's a very good way to deal with it.
That's a really good way to deal with it.
Setting yourself up for success.
Make everyone uncomfortable. I mean, I tried to do that at the beginning of my talk. Because
I feel very uncomfortable already.
I know. As long as you're not imagining me in my underwear, it will be fine.
Well, yeah.
There were like four people before I got on stage who were all like, yeah, just imagine everybody in their underwear. And I'm like, I will mention it. And then I did.
So that's going to make you even more uncomfortable.
Well, I got to make a joke about it and be in denial and then go, but I won't do that. Don't worry.
Am I now the only person who's very visual and actually imagining Luc in his underwear?
Well, I'm trying.
Why?
I'm also trying to. I don't know. You give me these suggestions, these hints, and my mind has a mind of its own. It's like, there we go.
I think it's so inappropriate. I think we should have a talk about that. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
I'm surprised I haven't been exported.
This is just like sexual harassment on the work floor.
Oh, God. I'm gonna press the record button.
I think we should move on. I mean, yeah. This is going bad.
Oh, God.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, thanks, Renee, for setting me up for that one.
Oh my God!
God, it's a good thing that we know each other.
Oh man!
Right. Anyway, so you did a talk on Web3.
Yes.
Because we've spoken, you know, we've met. I know your story. You have a very interesting story. Would you mind sharing that with anybody who's listening?
All right. So it's a fun one. I have way too many stories, but the TLDR is I started off in the Minecraft space. There was a mod called Computercraft. Let you do Lua in Minecraft, and I was, you know. Vanilla Minecraft got boring, so I started playing modded, and then after a little while, I was like, hey, you know, I can build my little smart home base in Minecraft. Why, you know, somebody wrote this plugin, why can't I do that as well? And then, you know, I started off with Java, and we kind of popped off from there. We started modifying the client, we started, you know, making little hacks and stuff, and plugins and cool experiences, and that kind of grew out. Now I'm doing web dev. I'm doing literally everything. At this point, I mean,
what do you mean by literally everything?
I mean, like anything as low, as close to the hardware as PCB design, all the way up to data centers and scalability and high availability and all the crazy fun Web3 stuff and whatever. Yes.
Okay. Well, give us an example of something you did on PCB design.
Yeah, all right. So
triggered me as well.
We started off with Minecraft, right? And my weird aspiration in Minecraft, I watched all these YouTubers, was to build an epic base. Right, I was like, oh, I want this to look cool. You know what I mean? So remotely controlling everything was kind of the aim there. And since I've moved out and, you know, quit college and I'm working now, I have my own apartment. And everything there, obviously, has to be just like in Minecraft. So my lights are smart. My tea machine, for one, is smart. We once had a teacher who jokingly said, like, you should, if any of you manage to build a machine that actually supports HTCP CP, Hypertext Coffee Prop Protocol, a April Fool's Day joke by the internet organization, the IETF, then I'll get you a passing grade. Like, I'll give you an A for the rest of the quarter. And then, you know, I went home and surprise, surprise, faith was there for me. Oh, faith, not the whatever, luck. There was a tea kettle, and I was like, Mom, why is there a tea kettle on our table? And then she's like, oh, I'm throwing away. And I'm like, does it work? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, can I have it? And then, well, here we go. I now have a Wi-Fi tea kettle.
You have a Wi-Fi.
I have a Wi-Fi HTCP CP supporting tea kettle that nicely integrates with Home Assistant, and I can turn on from here.
Hold on. How does that work?
Right.
How does that work? How do you go from having a simple tea kettle
right
to making it Wi-Fi connected, implement a protocol that was... This is very fitting, by the way. An April Fool's joke.
Yes.
I mean,
so
yeah.
Tea kettles aren't that complicated.
The camera right now, so
yeah, it's. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, but
this,
you have to tell us more.
You have to tell us more. I'm gonna shut up now.
Okay, so tea kettles aren't that complicated. They're basically just, you know, you're shoving some AC through some ceramic thing, and then, you know, it heats up. Good reminder for everybody who wants to try this themselves, don't touch the thing when it's hot, because you will die, or it will burn. Speaking from experience, although I am still alive. I think. Yes. So, this is where, like, I edit this, and then I add, like, checking, ... you know, whatever. Yes, but,
this is gonna be unfiltered and unedited.
Oh, God.
No filters, man.
So... It's just AC, right? And not air conditioning, but alternating current, which means you can shove it through a relay, which you can control with low voltage DC. So I got an ESP8266. That's a specific make of like an Arduino, basically. It's a microcontroller, and you can program it to do something, and it will just run the code indefinitely, right? So you just set up a loop, you make it run a web server, and before you know it, or at least support HTTP, right, or TCP, before you know it, you can now remotely, you know, ping this device and it will start taking actions on your behalf, such as turning on the relay, turning off the relay, or reading out the temperature sensor, etc. And that same way, you know, you attach it to your tea kettle, shove it all in the base of the bottom, add a bit, like, you know, like the little, like, anti-slip things underneath to heighten it because there wasn't enough space. And you have your own makeshift internet-controlled tea kettle. And that way, done a bunch of stuff over the course of the years. I've made sirens that people on the internet can control. I've made printers that people could, like a receipt printer or two that people through Discord could control, or through Twitch chat, or through whatever crazy stuff. So,
this,
yeah.
This, honestly, I'm flabbergasted. This sounds like so much fun.
So, we, as in me and the crew, because, you know, I keep adding friends, it's kind of fun. But the current team that I'm working with, we've expanded a little bit, and it's not just, you know, the hardware, but right now, one of the projects, for example, that I'm working on, Signal Edge, is an edge server that scales across infinite devices and, you know, runs together and does all that fun stuff. Originally it was based on IPFS. Right now it's a bit in between, and we've made our own, like, the ability to switch between file systems. But what it boils down to is, you know, we've got distributed software, we've got it running, no environment, in containers, Kubernetes, all that fun stuff. And at the same time, we've, you know, got your little WebSocket connected Arduino that, you know, makes your entire room light up red and go pew-wee-wee-wee until you message someone to beg them to please turn it off because, you know, they're the only one with control.
But why would you want to give control to some stranger on the internet?
I think that's a question that I will get kicked off of this podcast. If I, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Wait, hang on. So you, now you've piqued my curiosity. So now I actually want to know, what did you do or why did you give some stranger on the internet? So I said relative stranger access to the lights and sounds in your living room.
Yes.
And gave him only an exclusive control.
Actually, there were five LEDs and there were five people who all had access to an LED each. So they could turn the buzzer on and they could make their LED go on, blink, or, you know.
Sounds like such a terrible idea.
It's a horrible idea, but I still lived at my parents back then. And
actually, now it's starting to sound like a good idea.
It's yeah. Oh yeah,
how to get your parents to finance your own apartment.
Oh, they got mad at me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like five LEDs, a buzzer, and internet connection is all I need.
They must have been like, Luke, this has gone on too far. Like the lights are turning off and on. I have no idea what's going on.
This is get your own apartment.
Like,
this
you
is
shouldn't
too
have
much.
Given this guy in a different time zone control of this light. I mean, you know, why would you do that?
I have another working theory. He could be a secret superhero.
Amazing.
And every LED, like in the buzzer, is like, it's time for Luke Man to spring into action.
It's like the Batman.
It's like the Luke Man.
I will make a mode for that. We'll make it happen.
Okay, but then you were with your parents, so you were still doing this kind of crazy stuff.
Yes.
And now you have your own apartment. I get like visions of some kind of like a madman's apartment with all kind of stuff. I mean, I've seen your setup when you were streaming or when you were in the Zoom call. With all the lights and everything. I mean, God, that house of yours.
The amount of cameras as well. Yes, I never know where to look.
Yes. So I have two Sony cameras, and I have an Atom Mini to swap between the cameras so I can be annoying and, like, you know, switch between all the cameras. And to make matters worse, because I wasn't on camera already 24/7, you know, behind my computer and all. I also have cameras all throughout the house that I can tap into and
throughout the house.
Yes, actually, last week we wrote a simple Discord bot in like 30-minute coding challenge, I think. Turned out to be 45 with deployment, but whatever, right? We've optimized that. Kubernetes. But the TLDR on that is that now I can just boot up OBS on my local machine, share my webcam, and people on Discord have buttons where, because Discord added components where you can actually have buttons people can click, just like Slack does. And you can swap between the cameras. So you can swap between my living room, the outside camera, my bedroom camera, which coincidentally is also my studio. so you can see all of that. Don't even.
I'm just wondering. It's like, is this?
I should stop saying
is
these
this
things.
Is this 24/7 like live feed 24/7?
Yep.
People just
yes.
So my God.
Obviously, only when I'm in Discord calls. I've disabled it otherwise.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, yes. That's what I was wondering. Because like, I would feel very uncomfortable if I knew that random strangers could be looking at me sitting in my living room, playing, I don't know, playing video games or whatever.
Yes.
All the freaking time.
Oh no, but it's great.
That wouldn't be.
Because I have an excuse now to sit in a Discord call and talk to people, not be lonely, and also clean my living room. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like the shove, the push.
Yeah,
the back
I just put earbuds in, and then I can run around my house and, you know, do all my chores.
If you needed help with doing your living room, you could have just called any of us. Like, dude, happy to talk to you if it incentivizes you to clean.
You're
your
not gonna
room.
Like that. No,
because I keep calling you, man. Yeah.
My house. True.
Like, Chris, I need to clean my bedroom. Do you have time for a 2-hour call? Right?
Like, how big is your bedroom?
It's 3 at night. I don't have time for a call right now.
No. I do have neighbors, so I have to, you know, watch the noise and stuff. But I don't know. My house is like clean one moment, and then I get this idea, just like with the siren, for example. That was, I don't know, at a 3 a.m. call during lockdown in Belgium. So we were in the middle of a farm field, and then, you know, it was late at night. My friends were like, hey, Luke, you know what you should do? And I'm like, what? And they're like, build a siren. And I'm just like, screw it, whatever. And then I spent the next 6 hours or something hanging above solder going, oh. And then, you know, having that.
I can see Luke's brain is going to last for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be
I'm
soldering.
Surprised I'm making this far.
Exactly. How are you going to do that? You're soldering. You're hanging above all these
I'm a fan now.
Gases and... Good God.
Yeah, but yes. It doesn't really matter because as soon as you can get implants and stuff, you're going to be doing that anyway.
He's
right?
Already chipped.
Yeah, he's...
Tell people... I'm going to look in the camera again. Luke has been chipped. You remember when you go to the pet store and you buy a cat or a dog, you get them chipped so you can identify them, you can find them and that sort of thing. Look, Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, tell
I
us
mean,
more.
I also own the domain loop.pet, but I hoard domains.
Oh
I'm
my
telling
god!
You.
But
he does hoard domains.
Yeah, he gives remote control to people, and then you have loop.pet. I mean,
he's
chipped. Don't forget.
Let's
he's
not go in that direction. That's gonna go awful.
So there is this guy who's selling himself for 2 years. I think
for 2 years.
Yes, as an NFT. What? And a physical thing somebody can hang up on the wall, and anybody that purchases it can like control his cameras, swap between them, and he's going to be in an enclosed space and all this shit. It's kind of crazy.
Jeez. This is like a personal Big Brother.
Yes, but I'm not doing that. That's not happening.
Okay, so that's too extreme for
you. But not for
coming,
now.
But coming back, though.
Yeah, let's circle back to...
This is really interesting because Luke is actually chipped, and he's done that for a very interesting reason. So please, would you mind telling us a little bit more about that?
No comment. No, I have an NFC or an RFID implant in my left hand. And initially it was just like a fun gimmicky thing. And it was like, you know what, if I'm going to be working at companies and they're going to have RFID doors, etc., you know, I want to be one of those cool people that just goes bloop with their hand, the door opens, right? You know, this is cool or something. I don't know. So after a long time of consideration, because, you know, I've never done anything that permanent. I mean, I don't have any tattoos or piercings because, you know, commitment issues. So this was kind of an impulsive one day. I called up the local body modification shop, and this guy was like, oh, I'm about to close, but, screw it. Come over. We'll do it today. And I'm just like, okay, fine. And then, you know, 30 minutes later and a lot of biking, I was in a surgical chair, if you will, and everything was clean and sterile and yeeted was in, and now I have a chip in my hand. And I've made multiple RFID cabinets that I can open with the chip in my hand.
I mean, it's I've said it before, like, you make me feel old. Like, I'm not old, I'm 29, but now here comes, like, Luke straight from the future just rolling in, and he just opens his house with his hand. I mean, it's seriously crazy, right? I only have like one light bulb that I can enable with my phone, and that's enough for me. Like, I should be a developer, I should have more of those things.
Yeah,
but then you come along and you just turn everything on and off with a button. You have people that have access to your house. You get,
yes,
my god, you have loop.pet, you have like implanted stuff.
Computer, Luke,
I get like
show,
these cyberpunk Luke, yeah, kind of feels, like this Blade Runner dude just came out from the future, just telling us how old we are, and just behind the times.
So get out of the way, Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get out, Gramps.
This is ridiculous. So, we've been talking for almost 20 minutes. Well, actually, not.
Good
just
Lord.
17 minutes right now. We are going to have to finish up because we have other people to interview. This has
correct
been
yes
super interesting. If you want to tell the people who are listening one last interesting bit, what would you tell about yourself?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm really weird. If you want to find out more about me, or you want to check how old I am right now or something, I don't know. Because competition.
It's his birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah, just congratulate the guy. He's
3rd of April. He's going to be turning 20.
Man, he kept on saying how
lonely
he was.
Are you spreading my social security number next to? No. Yeah,
yes,
if there's
it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
We can just scan it off his hand, right? Just have the RFID.
That's true.
Reader.
We could just swipe it. We don't even have to think like macabre things. We don't have to cut off his hand or anything.
No.
We just use our phone. Go boop.
I mean, there's also a chip in the watch. It has less information on it. So if I don't trust you as much,
just
I give you the
both
watch,
and we just steal your
talk to the watch, not to the hand.
No, because the hand has the address on it as well.
Right.
So, you know,
he lives in Utrecht.
No, I don't. But
you should have said, you're complaining about how am I giving personal information away about you. Just play along with
me. Okay,
fine. People, he lives in Utrecht.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about Luke, just go in his Discord.
Yes,
or
his Luke.contact or Luke.computer. And if you want to see any of the slides, Luke.show, or now also YouTube. I have youtube.com/c/Loosemans. And we have the first blockchain video on there, and hopefully also some
recommend you go and watch that. Super cool. Luke, thank you so much for your time. This has been incredibly fun.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Are we going to see more of you at other conferences?
Hopefully. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Would be really nice. So support this guy, really.
Like,
he was brought into our company as like the Mozart of tech. based on what you've heard, he's more like the dog from Back to the Future. Great Scott!
But I think
he's weird, but in such a lovable and good kind of way.
But in the next couple of years, you're gonna see him be more and more modified on stage, right? Eventually, he's just
I think like this. Digital special optics, that game kind of thing. Like, he will have like a chrome jaw at some point.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna eat less memory than actual chrome, though. All right. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. Luke, thank you so much.
That. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. And until the next one.